views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Welcome to the hit show Beyond Grief Radio, redefining loss and grief with Angie Corbett-Kuiper on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are you struggling with loss? Are you willing to challenge everything you've been taught about life and death? Beyond Grief Radio is a space that explores beyond current self-limiting beliefs surrounding loss, offering radical healing which will come from the least likely of places. Join Angie on her journey, which includes science, medicine, and spirituality, proving that the body is merely a shell of our soul. It is possible to create an amazing life from the depths of pain. It is your life. It is your choice. Now, here's your host.
Good morning, my beautiful listeners. I am so glad you've chosen to join me this morning, this afternoon in some parts of the country. Today, I am so excited to invite Dean Slyter on the program. And this show will be for you. And I love this, and nobody can edit it better than what it was sent to me. Whether you're afraid of dating or flying, speaking or dying, whether you're angry at your boss or your spouse or the traffic, whether you're anxious about financial insecurity and political insanity, whether you're addicted to drinking or drugs or food or your phone, you guys, this show is for you. I am so honored to bring Dean Slyter to the program. We are talking about his book, Fearless, and what an appropriate time that we are in right now, where a lot of us, I see a lot of pain and suffering going into something that Dean is going to share with us. What is it? What are some of the signs and symptoms? And give us some great ideas on how we may be able to live our lives and alleviate some of the fear-based things that we are living in today. So the title of our show today is Timeless Wisdom for Modern Worries. And let me just bring Dean right on. Dean, welcome to our show.
Thanks so much, Angie. It's great to be here.
Yay. And I absolutely loved your book. And you guys, this book, like I said, is Fearless. And Dean, what I'd like to start, I mean, you've had written several books. Would you like to share that with my audience? What are some of the books that you've written?
Sure. This is book number 5. And my first book was written 20 years ago. It's called Why the Chicken Crossed the Road and Other Hidden Enlightenment Teachings. And that one, I started noticing that in things like pop song lyrics, like I can't get no satisfaction, or hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and jokes like why did the chicken cross the road, and take my wife, please, and nursery rhymes like, you know, little Jack Horner sat in the corner, that, gee, am I crazy, or are all the great teachings of the enlightened masters, all the teachings of the Buddha and Jesus and Lao Tzu and so forth, are they there between the lines of those things? Now, maybe I am crazy, but it was a lot of fun kind of squeezing the enlightenment teachings out of those things. And then my second book is called The Zen Commandments. And this is where I had the idea, okay, let's say I went up to the top of the mountain, and I'm going to come down with 10 things for people to know to live a balanced, enjoyable life that is happy and free for themselves and for others. So that's the Zen Commandments. That's, some people like that because this is my shortest book. It's slim.
I love it.
Yeah, and then the third, one person told me, yeah, you know, your books are great because they're short chapters. They're perfect for reading in the bathroom. So I guess I guess that's a compliment. And then
that's a good compliment.
Yeah. My third book is called Cinema Nirvana, Enlightenment Lessons from the Movies. And I've been a movie fanatic all my life. And I started in the same way that in the earlier book, I was looking at jokes and pop song lyrics. I started looking at movies that you would never think have enlightenment teachings or spiritual teachings in them. You know, people said, oh, you have to write about The Matrix and Brother, Son, Sister, Moon. So I didn't write about any of that. I wrote about Jaws and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and Invasion of the Body Snatchers and The Godfather and Casablanca, showing how all the teachings are there. So that one was a lot of fun. And then my fourth book is called Natural Meditation. And that book actually won the Nautilus Gold Award in 2015 for the best book of the year on mind, body, and spirit practices. And the essential message of that one, and I've been teaching meditation all over the country and beyond for, starting to be embarrassing, since 1970. The main thing that, back when I started, the main thing you had to convince people of is that meditation is not weird. You know, they thought, oh, meditation is sleeping on beds of nails and flying around on carpets. And by now everyone knows, oh, no, meditation is, it's healthy, it's normal, it normalizes your blood pressure, it helps you deal with stress. But people still think it's hard. And I've been fortunate enough to find teachers early on in my career, because I was way too fidgety and way too lazy to do the hard stuff where you concentrate and try to push thoughts out of your mind. That doesn't work, because the harder you work at trying to pacify your mind, the more it becomes unpacified. All that working gets you riled up. So I was fortunate to find teachers who showed me how to, rather than try to push things out of your mind, allow yourself to just naturally be pulled in the direction where the mind is always trying to go anyway, which is toward maximum deliciousness, maximum letting go, maximum freedom. And that is within you. And if you have someone provide you with a little bit of guidance, just that sort of gravity takes over. It's automatic. And then the new book, Fear Less, and I always like to point out on the radio that it's two words. It's not fearless. I'm not fearless. The Dalai Lama isn't even fearless. He's afraid of worms, but he laughs about it. What happens is, and as you were saying at the beginning, you know, there's so much fear and anxiety in the air these days. I've been on college campuses where they now have therapy dogs in every dorm. I just heard this morning from a friend who had to get on a plane and travel 3,000 miles to pull his daughter out of college and bring her home because she couldn't deal with the stress.
Dean, can I interrupt you here?
Please.
I would like to interrupt you here because you hit on a very, very key point. And I want to get into, I'm hoping that you're willing to maybe lead us at the end of the program into a little bit of meditation and some ideas to give us some techniques. But let's go back. I think you're the only person that brings a funniness to fear. And so, Dean, let's start with what actually is fear.
Well, fear, you know, the people think of fear, well, there, I've got this fear of public speaking, and I've got this fear of flying, and she's got this fear of commitment to relationships, and this one, everyone's afraid of death and so forth. So people think of those as different fears. But really the fear itself, the common denominator, is the same thing, that the subject, the topic of it, the thing that it gets, that triggers it, or appears to trigger it, may be different for different people. But really at its root, fear comes from a particular model of life, which is the model that most people, without having thought much about it, subscribe to. And that's the model where, if we could think of life as being like the surface of an ocean, and I'm a little wave over here, and you, Angie, you're a little wave out there wherever you're sitting right now. Everyone, there are all these different waves, and waves are relatively small. You know, the ocean, the surface of the ocean is vast. Life, existence seems so vast. All the things that we need to deal with, there's so much of it out there. There's so many people out there, and so many of the other waves seem like they're bigger than I am. They're more powerful. There's always other ones sloshing up against me. If I pay attention, after a while, I start to notice, you know, sooner or later, every wave disappears. It subsides back into the ocean, or it crashes against the shore, this thing called death. And that is inherently a terrifying model of life, that I'm just this little thing, I'm this object, I am dwarfed by the immensity of everything going on in life, and, you know, never quite figure it out. I'm always trying to just dodge away from other things bumping into me, and I'm trying to rise up a little higher, make a little something meaningful out of my life. And then one day, game over, it's all done, and you're annihilated. So that is that's an inherently terrifying model. And then therefore, we feel threatened. We feel, even if we're not consciously thinking about it, there's this subtext, there's this thing in the back of our minds all the time, that I'm this vulnerable, fragile little thing. So, and I'm surrounded by threats. And some people will then identify that threat. They'll hang it on, oh, flying, or oh, public speaking, or calling people up and asking for a date, or whatever it is. So, fortunately, there's a second model, and that's the model that has been passed down to us by all the great enlightened sages over the years, whether it's Jesus or the Buddha or Lao Tzu or Socrates or the Baal Shem Tov or Al-Halaj. Every culture has people that you look at them and you may not even have read their teachings, but you just know, oh yeah, they're there. There's something going on. There's this deep wisdom they've plugged into. And one thing we know about them all, just intuitively, is they're not afraid of dying. They're not afraid. The wisdom that they're plugged into essentially says, hey, little wave, if you take a few moments and look within yourself, you start to realize I'm not an isolated little wave cut off. I'm connected with the ocean. And in fact, the closer I look, the more I see there's no place where I leave off and the ocean begins. I am nothing but ocean. And this is what we experience in deep meditation, or in these little, even moment-to-moment meditative practices that we can do during the day, which I really emphasize in the new book, things that we can do even in the moment sitting at the red light. You can be just tightening your grip on the steering wheel, trying to make the red light turn green faster because you've got anxiety about being late for work. Or you can acknowledge, you know what? That never works. There's no way I'm going to make the light turn green anytime sooner. And so I give people things that, here's the thing you can do in the 30 seconds or the 5 seconds you're sitting at the red light to just kind of dip your toe into that ocean again.
Well, and I think partly too is, and you bring up a very, very good point regarding death, is death is the be all end all to everything. And so once, and I you hit on a key element here, and mm-hmm. that is now most of my listeners, and I'm pretty new on this network, but I lost a son to suicide 2-3 years ago. Mm. And then I lost my second sparkly, shiny husband to suicide a year, almost exactly to the date. Mm. Now, Dean, I have to agree with you, is that I could have been consumed by the fear of death. but ergo, life goes on.
Right.
And it has given me such enlightenment. Now, yes, of course, I would love to have them here, but what it also taught me, and I wish to God it didn't have to be their death,
mm-hmm.
but what it has taught me is that everything that I feared in the past, it was so trivial. And I was mm-hmm. worried about everything. And you know what it taught me the most? Control. I do not have control of anything.
Right. You know, there's a quote that I love, and it's in one of my books from Willie Nelson, who said,
yes.
Fortunately, we're not in control. I love that word, fortunately, we're not in control. That means, you know, once you realize for sure that you're not in the driver's seat, then you can give up trying to drive the damn thing and sit back and relax in the passenger seat. You're being chauffeured.
Exactly. And you know what? Exactly. I like to allude to it as called allowing versus manipulating.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that I just allow, like even today, I mean, you guys are going to laugh. This is my second live program on the on this Transformation Network. I could have sat here scared to death, Dean, because mm-hmm. the audio wasn't working just perfectly enough, but it all worked itself out
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
without fear, without anxiety, without nervousness. It just is. And you know what? If it didn't work, my beautiful producer, Rob, would have found a way to make it work.
Right.
And so I think the fear has gone from me knowing. So do you think it's an ego? It's an ego? Do you think ego keeps us from living freely because it's trying to protect us by saying, remember, remember, you better not do that. You better not do that.
Yeah.
Remember, because I think fear, like you said too, I love this, you guys. You have to read his book. He's the only person that I can hear that makes fun. It's so fun to hear you talk about fear.
Yeah. Well,
anxiety
and fear. Thank you. I do hear that a lot from people. One thing is, for a lot of years, my day job was teaching high school. I taught English and ran also meditation programs at a high school in New Jersey. And I've also done a lot of teaching in prisons. And one thing that I've learned is, you know, if you make people laugh, you can do anything with them. So, that's just me. It's just, I'm always seeing the fun side of things. And the thing is, people tend to think of, oh, meditation, spirituality, enlightenment, awakening. They think, oh, it's so solemn. And, you know, I remember the old, like, the Bible movies, the religious movies we used to see when I was a, you know, from that they made back in the 50s, like King of Kings and, you know, and Jesus and the Buddha, they're always represented as being so solemn. And I'm quite sure that that's wrong, because I've been very fortunate to be around some people, some, you know, really awakened people who are, you know, it wasn't just 2000 or 2500 years ago that there were such people. There are such people walking around today. And the ones I've been around, they laugh. They enjoy, you know, I mean, being awake means that life is so much fun. All the stuff you were so worried about, when it just melts away, you can't help but laugh. And so I feel quite confident that Jesus and the Buddha and Socrates, they all laughed a lot, and that it was later on, it was the people who edited the texts and the scriptures who said, gee, all that laughing sounds pretty undignified. We better snip that part out.
But then that's a form of control that we were just talking about. Willie Nelson would be so proud of us. They tried to make it, fortunately, we're trying to be in control. So if we're not in control and they're trying to control us, and that's where I love in the part in your book where you talk about practice and view. Come and see is what you quoted in, and I think it was the very beginning of your book,
mm-hmm.
The monsters, I think, what is the monster under the bed.
Yeah.
And what I love about that night, and see if you relate to this, It is so interesting. My son and I were up in Telluride mountain biking, and we had stopped, and there was a little girl with her mom. And the little girl came up to our dog, who is the most sweet dog you would ever meet. And not, a, you know, she is, she was a rescue dog, and she was an Australian sheepdog, or I'm sorry, an Australian cattle dog. And right as the girl started coming up, and you could see Maiden tail wagging, Dean, so fast. He was so excited. And all of a sudden, you hear the mom, get away, stop. And she's almost hyperventilating. She has forced this little child. So I asked adults, why are you afraid of a dog? Has it ever bit you? We have screwed our children over, Dean, with our own fear. And so I love in your book how you spend time talking about experience the hot burner yourself. I never met a kid who learned that a hot burner was to be feared when the parent said, don't touch that. Because as soon as the parent's back is turned, what's the kid doing? Ooh, I wonder what that's all about. They'll never touch a hot stove again.
You're right. And of course, having said that, as parents, we know that there does have to be a sweet spot, a golden middle path where, you know, we don't let the kid go and, you know, play softball on the freeway. We don't want to throw common sense out there. You know, there is cause and effect. Stuff does happen in life. You know, when you were saying a few minutes ago that, you know, we just relax when it looked like there was going to be an audio problem with the show today and just relax and it all took care of itself. And you know what? Maybe it would not have taken care of itself. Maybe the whole thing would have been screwed up and we would not have been able to do the broadcast today. And if that were the case, then something else would happen. You know, I remember being on my way to years ago. It's when I was living in New Jersey, and a couple of friends and I were driving to about to drive to New York for a teaching, a whole day's teaching from a Tibetan Lama. We were so looking forward to all these enlightening teachings, and fortunately, just before. We drove into the Holland Tunnel, which for listeners who've never been in those parts, that connects New Jersey with New York City. Just before we were going to enter the tunnel, smoke started pouring out from under my hood, and we pulled into a Pep Boys, and we wound up spending the whole day in Pep Boys. And by the end of the day, I realized this was so much better than going to some teaching from a Lama, that we got the teaching from hanging around Pep Boys, having quote unquote nothing to do. That finding the place of okayness within us, finding the place of letting go, finding the place of not trying to change what can't be changed, finding the place of just settling into whatever is here moment after moment, that is, you know, whatever the Lama was teaching could not have improved on that.
Dean, you mentioned the word okayness.
Yeah.
Throughout your book. Can you explain, and we've only got about 2 minutes to break, you explain to us what do you mean, and we have 1 minute, so maybe this is something that we'll come back to. So remind me, okayness, we're going to come back. Can you let people know, maybe in this minute, take us into break, tell them where they can find you. Are you doing retreats where they can find your book?
Yes. If people will come to my website, which is fearlessbook.net, fearlessbook.net. And I've got a page there where I guided meditation audio tracks. They can stream them for free from the site and be walked step by step into this effortless meditation we're talking about. My teaching schedule is there. I'm heading, by the way, this weekend I will be in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Montclair, New Jersey. And later in the fall, I'll be in New York, LA, a few other places. So the teaching schedule's on my website as well, fearlessbook.net.
Yay, you guys, and we're going into break. Dean, thank you so much for joining me. And you guys, when we come back, we're going to get into okayness. So hang in there. Thanks, Dean. Mm-hmm.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher, Sarah Luce, brings her unique style to the hit show, Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuce.com.
Introducing New Soul Science, an introductory course with Ruby Betty, offering profound wisdom alongside radically simple concepts and techniques that collapse time, allowing instantaneous personal transformation. The foundational techniques of this introductory course reveal the profound inner ability each human has to access and fulfill their individual soul script or soul promise. Awakening this ability leads to the mastery of one's destiny. The concepts are totally original, immensely powerful, and completely revolutionary. They ignite an infinite fire within each listener, fueling one's ability to live out their unique soul promise. Are you ready to become more aware and access amazing personal transformation? This course is available now at rubybetty.co.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Defining success and putting minds to work. With the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, Rudy Racine will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. Tune in every first and third Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 Eastern. And for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's H-I-R-E-learners.com.
Love Living Radio Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins is a show for those looking to explore the sparkling magnificence of their inner selves. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and power that resides within you, discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion. Emily shares the unlimited power of love. For more information or to listen to this show, visit lovelivingholistics.com.
Welcome back, my beautiful listeners. I am with the award-winning, best-selling author, Dean Slyke, and we are talking about his newest book, Fearless. It's Living Beyond Fear, Anxiety, Anger, and Addiction. And just to give you guys a little bit of a recap, that he has appeared frequently in the national media, including the New York Times, NPR, Coast to Coast AM, and the Oprah Magazine. And I love this theme. He plays the ukulele. I was going to ask him if he would bring it on. and he happily rides his Vespa through the streets of Santa Monica. So welcome back, Dean. And before we went on break, we were talking about your definition of okayness, of just feeling okay. Can you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. All the different cultures have words for this, that something that can sound very mysterious, like nirvana, satori, in the Gospels, it's the kingdom of heaven, which is within you. And it can all sound so lofty, so like, oh, that sounds great, but so it sounds very far away. But if we pay close attention to what these people who've awakened to that are saying, I mean, for example, in the Gospels, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is within you, not is up on a cloud somewhere after you die, and not could be within you someday if you're good enough, is within you right now. And in fact, we have all had moments of that. We've all had glimpses, maybe incomplete glimpses, but glimpses, you know, people talk about when they're running or playing basketball or playing their guitar or gardening or dancing or throwing, you know, pots on their potter's wheel, whatever it is, of going, quote unquote, into the zone where just everything flows and everything seems fine. And those moments, you know, you may notice that you somehow feel, it's hard to put it into words, but we all know it. It's you kind of feel weightless. You kind of feel like you're somehow not stuck inside your body, and there and that time has dropped away, and that everything is just fine for no particular reason. And in those moments, as it happens, that's always where you do your, where you play your best game or throw your best pots. Or, you know, I, for me, this happens a lot when I'm writing. That's when the sentences and the paragraphs come out. And later on, I look at those and I go, whoa, who wrote that? That's working. And so I like to put everything in plain American. So rather than calling this Satori or Samadhi or Nirvana, I just call it boundless okayness, where everything is just,
I love that.
We're looking for it all the time, and it's always available. So, for example, we mentioned before the break that there are, I like to show people things they can do while they're at the red light. Or, for example, when you're buckling up in the plane and you have fear of flying, or if you're trying to kick your addiction to cigarettes or heroin or opioids or drink or whatever it is, and you know, oh, you're feeling that craving. So one thing that we can do very simply is we can use that syllable, mm-hmm. And a very effective
way. Try it. Have the listeners try it. You guys just do it. Ready?
Yeah, here we go. One, two, three.
And do it again. Count it down, D.
One, two, three.
Yeah, ready. I mean, that's got to do something inside you guys.
It works both ways. You know, the mind-body connection always works in both directions. Now, there are ways that we can tweak this stuff and make it even more effective. So let me give you a little tweak on this using this ah mantra. And that is, think of the opening of the Star Spangled Banner. Oh, say. Okay? If you don't like the Star Spangled Banner, you can use the Flintstones. Flintstones, right? Oh, say, or right. Flintstones, same two notes. So now take a nice deep breath. And then I go deeper into it in the book, how it's some more tweaking of it. This is what's called a descending fifth, and it's found in every kind of music, Eastern, Western, every scale, major, minor. And because that higher note, for mathematical reasons that we don't have to go into right now, that higher note is the maximum point of tension, the maximum point of suspension. And then when you let it go, you can feel like you're melting down into that lower note. It's a total, that is the letting go of that tension. And I've got a chapter in the book about using that, and then using it like in the morning when you're in the shower and everything's nice and echoey, and then using it with different vowel sounds that help wake up all the different kind of energies of your consciousness. It's just simple things.
You kind of feel like a vibration in there, and it's almost like it's like Hindu where they say,
Om. Yeah, absolutely.
It literally vibrates the very being, and it's home. And so, okay, I love that, Dean.
Absolutely.
I love that. And that requires no deviation from any kind of religious practice someone may have. It doesn't, you know, if you go, oh my gosh, I cannot possibly do it. Everyone can say,
Absolutely.
I love that.
Absolutely. Now, here's another one for you. These are my two favorite mantras. And here's the other one. And this one, the origin of this one for me was, it was at a time in my life, I was going through some emotional turmoil. I was having some women problems. And a friend of mine said, Dean, just remember this. No matter what's going on, you can never have a bad time as long as you say, "Wee!"
I like that too. Wee! Well, okay, how many muscles in our faces, Dean? Are there like 52 or whatever, however many? It takes more energy, you guys, to frown and more muscles to frown than it is to try it. Wee! You just smile.
And it sounds silly, but it's very solid science. This science goes back to Charles Darwin, something called the facial feedback hypothesis, which there's been all kinds of research that bears this out, that our facial expression tends to reflect our inner emotional state, but also, once again, it goes in the other direction. Our emotional state will reflect our facial expression. My favorite piece of research on this was they had a bunch of people watch a cartoon, and they divided them into three groups. Everyone was given a ballpoint pen, and one group, this was the control group, they said, okay, while you're watching the cartoon, just hold the pen in your hand. The second group was told, while you're watching the cartoon, hold the pen between your lips. And the third group was told, hold the pen between your teeth. Now, what they didn't tell them, but of course, if you think about it, it becomes obvious. If you hold the pen between your lips, it makes you frown. And if you hold it between your teeth, it makes you smile. So afterwards, they had everyone rate from 1 to 10. How funny was the cartoon? And what they found was the people that were holding the teeth all thought the cartoon was funnier than the other groups. So what this shows us is that our experience of the world, we think, well, it's like this. Okay, this thing happened and this thing happened, and it's inherently this thing is depressing and this thing is like that. It goes straight to the basic teachings of the Buddha, what he called the Four Noble Truths, which is that our experience of life is not just a function of what's going on out there, it's how we're processing it, what we're doing with it. And so I really recommend for people who are suffering from depression, and this is the last thing you're going to want to do. You're going to say, that is so stupid. I'm never going to do that. But you just kind of force yourself to do it. And along with the mantra, there's a mudra, a hand gesture, which is just, you can't see me this because we're on the radio, but you just, as you say it, you just fling your hands up in the air, you know, with total wild exuberance. Whee! And do that three times. And just with totally, like make it as stupid and silly and exuberant as you can. And my wife and I'm remarried now. We were talking during the break about the death of my first wife, which was a great, great teaching to me. I mean, it was a huge, I mean, very difficult in many ways, but I write about it in the book. And my second wife and I now, this is like we is the mantra of our marriage. You know, it's like, oh, honey, the toilet is stopped up again. Wee! And, you know, and then you get the plunger or you call the plumber or whatever. But so you still have to do what you have to do, but you don't have to be caught up in being bummed out by it. That's such a waste of life.
Right. And that we're going to go on to break here in about 15 seconds. And so you guys, if you want to learn more about, and you like what you're hearing from Dean Slider, go to his Fearless book, allonewords.net, fearlessbook.net. And you can find all of his events. You can find out where he'll be speaking. You'll see all of his books. And when we come back, we're going to continue and maybe delve in a little bit more of fear. We'll be right back.
like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst? Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, navigating through life's transitions with Shelley Ryan, the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit YourNextChapterCoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next! Our angels and animals are always working for and around us. Darcy Pariso knew from an early age she felt this incredible presence that was confirmed for her in a Reiki Level 1 course. From then on, she has honed her skills and dedicated her talents to providing answers, inspiration, and tools for people to move past limiting blocks and past traumas to truly live a life of happiness. For more information about working with Darcy, visit DarcyPariso.com.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Are you ready to attract abundance, release stress, look and feel younger, all from your smartphone? Get Pure Light, a free mobile app with audios that transmit powerful frequencies to shift anything in your life. Created by some of the world's top energy healers, these audios have created miracles, often quickly. Enjoy the latest in conscious technology and download Pure Light today. To find out more, visit PureLightAudio.com.
Welcome back to the last segment of our show, where I'm so honored to have guest Dean Slider as we discuss his book, Fearless. And you guys, if you're looking just for an alternative way to deal with this fear, which is kind of can be all-encompassing, this book has been so, what a fun read. Dean, welcome back. And we, as we go into this last segment, you guys, we're going to go over Chapter 38 of Dean's book, which is called The Valley of the Shadow. And Dean and I both have lost significant others. And Dean, I'd love for you to share not only just death, but in your own life, does this create more? You said a break that your wife really taught you a lot. My husband, second husband, taught me so much. Mm-hmm. I don't fear death. And by not fearing death, you guys, I don't fear life anymore either. So, right. Dean, can you kind of talk about that chapter in the book? I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are actually two chapters near the end of the book that deal with this. The one is The Valley of the Shadow, and the other is called Lord Shiva Kicks Ass. And Lord Shiva in the Hindu system is the destroyer, the dissolver of all things, who, you know, one way or another always finds a way to kick our ass at anything that we start to get too comfortable with thinking, okay, this thing is solid, this situation, this relationship, this job, this is my favorite shirt, this is my, I finally found the great restaurant, you know, with the perfect chef, whatever it is, it's going to go away. Sooner or later, that rug is going to get pulled out from under us.
Can I interject before you go forward? You guys, I want to bring this up. Is one of the four noble truths, the second noble truth of the Buddha, is the root of all suffering is attachment. And Dean, when I quit attaching myself to outcomes, when I stopped attaching myself, when I quit attaching myself to other people's choices, when I quit just attaching, I can love them just like I loved Leon, like you loved your wife dearly. But there's a difference between loving and clinging and clawing, and there's a detached love, and I don't know how to explain it. You can probably do a better job of explaining that.
Yeah, because, you know, real love, and I talk a lot about this book. Actually, the last chapter is all about love and you know, what love really is, which is so much bigger and so much more unavoidable, it turns out, than what we think love is. We think that love is an emotion, and it's this very fragile thing that only under certain circumstances, if we keep things going just right and wear our hair a certain way and present ourselves a certain way, we can keep the circumstances going that will allow ourselves to perpetuate this fragile emotion. And then if anything goes wrong, that I see so many people who go through life with so much sadness because they feel that they missed out on love, or they had love once and they lost it and they don't think they can ever get it back again. But it turns out, you know, again, in the Gospels, it says God is love. And it sounds like a lofty poetic notion, but it's not. That's like an equation in physics. That's a statement of the way things are, that, you know, God, we can say the universe, we can say what the, and it's not even God is loving. It's not a, like a big loving person in the sky. It's like what the universe is made out of. When you, once you learn how to stop clinging, as you say, let go of attachment, relax into it, which we do with all these meditative methods, even just simple things like going, ah, we're letting go into that pool of, it turns out, love. And just by doing this stuff over and over, that gets clearer and clearer. Now, when Maggie, my first wife, was dying, and someone called up and he offered, oh, listen, I can arrange to bring these Tibetan monks to your hospital room and chant this special thing and all that. And she said, oh, really? You know, thanks so much. I appreciate the effort. But that wouldn't be authentic for me. That has not been my practice during my life. It wouldn't be an authentic thing for me to do in dying. She said, and this was the key word, she said, my practice is just being without hope or fear, right? Mm. And that is the big teaching. Be just being without hope or fear. Of course, everyone wants to be without fear. But here's the profound thing. Being without hope, everyone said, oh, keep hope alive. Hope is the, not everyone's ready to hear this. So if you don't like this, just cover your ears now. But hope is the flip side of fear. Both of them are an investment in an outcome. I hope I win the lottery, then everything will be great. But that means, oh, I fear that I won't win the lottery, and then everything will be terrible. When you let go of hope and fear, you're letting go of attachment to outcomes, and you can just be settling into the awe of this moment right now, because, you know, it's always only ever this moment. It's never the next moment. It's never the past you've been dragging around.
Let me interject here. You're absolutely, and I've got to interject here because this is so profound to my listeners. Please, like Dean said, cover your ears if this doesn't sit well, but I've had a lot of people, as I'm sure, Dean, you have too, that are looking for an answer. They're tired. And you guys, that is the one, Dean, thank you. It is when we are worried about tomorrow, what's going to happen? Oh, we're going to shivel more. And, oh, my gosh, look what's happening with our president. Look what's happening all around us. Look at, and we are worried about what's happened in the past. We are not in control of the past. That is gone, you guys. So to hang on to it and then to worry about what might, may or may not happen tomorrow, we are guaranteed the single breath. And this is my soul practice because it is in the stillness of the that the miracles can truly present.
Yep. Amen, sister. You know, when 9/11 happened, when the Twin Towers went down, and Maggie and I were living in New Jersey, and, you know, they sent us all home from work. So Maggie and I, we drove down to the beach. We drove down to Sandy Hook. There's a beach a little farther south down there in New Jersey. And we just took a walk on the beach, and we could look up the river at Lower Manhattan, and we could see the plume of smoke coming up from where the Twin Towers had been attacked. And Maggie said, you know, all those people who lived in the upper, who were working in the upper floors of the Twin Towers, who were just killed there, I wonder how many total collective man hours and woman hours they had spent worrying about their 401k, you know, worrying about their retirement, worrying about their receding hairlines, worrying about all those things that were never going to come to pass anyway.
Right. And you guys, we are almost ready. Dean, I can't believe how quickly the time went. Would you come back? I mean, I don't even think we scratched the surface of
it. Yeah, any time. You send me the invitation. I'll be back.
You know what, you guys? I absolutely, Dean, thank you. And if you want to just share some of the things you're going to be doing again, you guys, Dean is going to be giving a couple of books that are going to be signed by him, and we'll be giving those out. We had a little bit of technical difficulty, but we'll be giving those out. So, Dean, I'll let you guys know. But finish us out, Dean. Thank you. You've got 30 seconds. Tell everybody what you want them to know. Thank you.
I want you to know, A, visit my website for meditation guidance for free and where I'm going to be and so forth, fearlessbook.net. And secondly, it's easy. Anyone can do it. You're not the first person to walk down this road. Whatever fear or anxiety or addiction or rage you feel caught up in, other people have been caught up in it as badly or worse than you, and they've gotten free from it. And it's simple. It's just, there's some simple steps, and they're available. You can do them.
Thank you, Dean. Once again, we appreciate you guys. Until next time, fear less. Dean, thank you.
Thank you, Angie.
Thank you for listening to Beyond Grief Radio, redefining loss and grief with Angie Corbett-Kuiper. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Angie shares through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind that creating anything is possible, even in death. For more information or to listen to past shows, visit AngieCorbettKuiper.com. That's AngieCorbettKuiper.com. See you next time.